Massive, the number of people have been upgrading. Yes.
There you go. You see the graceful limb that you were talking about before.
The race we've got yet again. And a victor then goes, victory to an American, Andy Hampson.
The belt to go by. He looks at the Colombian rider. How are you doing?
Straight past Santiago Patero. And he's coming up to Pantani.
Well, Armstrong is the last few hundred metres as we come towards the finish of this monumental stage. And
as we start to approach the line now, Pantani grits his teeth and accelerates and over the line.
Is going now to win stage number 15. Sepp Kuss, an emotional finish from Durango in the USA. Sepp Kuss wins.
Welcome everybody to the Between Two Wheels podcast, episode 334. We are doing stage 10 of the Giro d'Italia, Pompeii to Bocca della Selva, 142 kilometers. We'll take a look at the profile. I had to go, look, with how things are going right now in the Giro, I had to go with the Tour de France Open simply because I think that's now where Pogacar is putting his focus. Welcome, everybody. If we have any new listeners or watchers over here, go ahead and check the subscribe button, check the like, maybe make a comment in there. We try to go, Victor's in the chat, of course. Talyanki is live, yes, and you got your notifications going. Good job, Victor. So with that in mind, like I said, check the box, subscribe to us so you get to be able to see this show because we're doing every day of the tour of the Giro. We're going to also do the tour. And then, and just recaps, and we talk about stuff, and we talk about, you know, hey, how are things going? Who's doing what? Who's doing where? And just, you know, we do a walk line. This is the stage profile today. 142 kilometers. You've got a sprint spot around 50K to go into the stage, and then 82 into it. You've got a Cat 2 climb, and then some other kickers up here, and a second longest climb, I think, of the race itself. Going from 121 up to 142 kilometers or so, peaking out 18 point something kilometers. And it wasn't a super steep, it's a Cat 1, partly because of the duration of the climb. But we'll talk a little bit about it and we'll walk over this. And I played that clip at the start because it's Tadej Pogacar saying to Barry of Bahrain, he's the only one that showed balls. Now, that's very interesting. I don't know if what Tabiri did today, and we'll walk through it, it was the best scenario for him. But as far as a bike racer fan goes, it's fun to watch, and it's fun to finally see someone kind of do something. Now, did he really have balls? I mean, he got stuck in the front. He put his team on the front. I don't know, but I what I like about this is it's Tadej calling out the other riders, in a sense, going, come on, I'm just going to float through this thing. I'm kind of bored. And by the way, maybe this is the reason, which is there's been news. There's been talk about it on Eurosport with Sean Kelly in the news and people questioning Tadej about gifting races, about, hey, you're 8 stages in, you've won 3/8 of them. Yeah, 3 of them. Okay. And are you going to, you know, be a little nice? And I'm like, I hate that. That you win them on your own merits. Stop complaining about this guy winning them all. And maybe that's his take too, which is you're complaining, but who's attacking? No one's doing anything. You're boring. No one has balls except for Tabiri. So maybe that is the case. But in their defense, should they? Should they be having balls in a sense and actually blow their chances at a possible top podium? And they're like, so Tabiri is, I don't know if what they did today was just defending a place on the podium or if it was actually much more than that. But here we go. We're going to look at the, let's go, I think we're full screen on this one. So here we go. We'll talk a little bit about it. Here's the stage, you know, and all that's pink, showing the route, going up and through, drop the flag at kilometer zero, and some riders take off. Now, I will just say, I didn't watch the whole part. I skipped through some of the early stuff. About 70 kilometers to go, I look in there, and there's some attacking going on. And riders are finally starting to get up the road because some of the early breaks weren't really happening. And then a big break got up the road, like I said, 70-some kilometers you're looking at here. And one of those in the group, it was Conchi, who we kind of had some criticism of the other day, and Alaphilippe. Alaphilippe's up there, and he is just a jackrabbit. Now, if you're interested in some of the tactical stuff, please go check out Chris. Some people like him, some people don't. But go check out Chris Horner's show yesterday where he... And this is the stuff I do love. He holds no, he doesn't hold anything back. He ripped apart Alaphilippe for his riding, but it's a little bit different. It's scathing in the sense of like you're, and he calls them knuckleheads, for the attacking he does. He's like, let the break form and then be able to get up in there instead of just doing so much work. And he did contrast and compare it to, what was it, 2019 Tour de France that Bernal ended up winning, but where, you know, most of those stages, like 16 or so out of them, up to that point, Alaphilippe was in yellow. Now, we talked about that race at the time, if you guys were fans of the Between Two Wheels podcast, which I was like, he's going to burn himself out. He's just going for every little thing. He's burning matches, nails in his legs. And that's ended up what being the case. Now, according to Chris, he's like, look, he could do those kind of things back then because he was in such fantastic form. He can't afford to do that now. I do agree. He can't afford to do that now. But he was doing that once again today. The other thing Horner talked about was stupid tactic discussions in the Eurosport. And it was Jonathan Vaughters. He was sitting in there for 2 days and he was bad-mouthing him and his team. Now, one thing that he was bad-mouthing was team directives, and he gave examples of over time of the directors of EF education being just kind of idiots. Note that their main director is who? Well, we'll get to it, who it is. He's an American writer. So we'll get to it. I don't want to bash him too much. So we'll just kind of let that go. Okay. So either way, though, this big group starts going out, and UAE, Team UAE was kind of holding it together, but they were letting this group go up the road. There were sub teams up there with some, you know, riders of the same teams, and the big one was DSM. Okay, DSM has a group up the road. They have Kevin Vermaak, they have Chris Hamilton, and they have Romain Bardet, and they ended up, you know, splitting. What was interesting too is during this break is up there, they're doing all this work, and that's all of a sudden you see Alaphilippe's at the car of the doctor, and then he's gone. And so I don't know what happened. A bee sting, perhaps, got allergic to something in the mountains. But it was interesting. Should say that there were, and we'll walk over, there were some riders that did not start. I don't think they would have played into a part of this. But going over this Intergiro, Jan Trotnik's in there for Visma Lisa bike. He goes over, I think, in second place or so, and he takes off. Now, is this a great move? Well, that last climb up the top, he's not the best climber. He's pretty good. He's more like a diesel climber. He's a little guy, but he's not just necessarily climber-like. And by the way, this picture down at the bottom here makes him look like a St. Paddy's Day guy there. Anyway, he takes off, and I think it was probably a good move because he gave himself the best chance. There was some infighting. That break wasn't really gelling together as it possibly could. And so Tratnik makes his move out. Olaf Koy, their sprinter that just won on stage 9, and then they had the rest day. This is the first day coming out of the rest day. Olaf Koy went home sick. So I don't know what the deal is, because you look at the stages. We talked about this. I think it's tomorrow. It's pan flat. It's made for Jakobsen to actually get there to the finish. Whether he can do anything or not, that's on him. But it's finally a sprint finish that I think he can. I think it's tomorrow. We'll double check on that. The point is, Visma Lisa Bike's down to like 5 riders. This is maybe one of their best chances, you know, say since Koy's now out, and Tratnik did look pretty good. What was a little bit disturbing behind was, and you see this group here, and I'm trying to remember all the people in the break here, but you've got Romain Bardet, Valentin Parapente, we'll call him VPP. There was a truck rider, and they're trying to chase Tratnik up the road. The Frigo was one for, I think it was it Jake? No, it was Israel Primatek. And what was interesting though, is back in this main group though, you had Chris Hamilton of DSM. You also had Kevin Vermaak of DSM. And I don't know, Roman Bardet goes out with 30-some kilometers to go, and you could have used these two guys getting yourself to the foot of the climb. They were going really well. As it is, Roman Bardet's up there. He's following the lead. They got Frigo. I'll get the truck rider here in a bit. Maybe we'll just go here so we don't have to keep saying, I'll get that rider in a bit. That's not the one I want to look at. So let's take a look at the... I'll just jump right to the results for myself so I can see exactly who it is. Baggioli. There you go. Baggioli. Andrea Baggioli. So he's up there in that group, but he's not going to make it much longer. 16 kilometers to go. The group's Frigo comes off the back. Now Baggioli's up there. DSM rider for Roman Bardet is up there, as is VPP. They end up spitting out Baggioli not too much longer after they get rid of Frigo, and it's really these two French climbers on the loose, ready to go, trying to catch up to Jan Trotnik. Now, I will say this too. There was some that we can talk about, the main group, the GC group, which you can see here. They're 5 minutes back. They start putting on the front Bahrain. Bahrain starts doing a lot of pulling, coming into the bottom of the climb. He's the Bahrain rider. He crashed the other day. And Damiano Caruso, he's up there in the break, and he ends up coming back and to help the team out. And I wish at some point, because it's really like two races, they're not going to catch the break. And I really wish that they would utilize split screen or even like picture in picture. It's technology that's been around forever. It's really useful, so you can at least see if something were to be happening. But you know, as it is, we didn't really miss much. But 12 kilometers, 13 kilometers to go. The two French riders dispatch a Baggioli, and now it's just those two up there. You've got 5.1. Trotnik is still going. He's had this 40-second or so gap between these two Frenchmen for most of the climb. This climb isn't deadly. It kind of flattens out, and then the last 4 kilometers, it gets a little bit more on the pitchy side. 5 kilometers to go, still got 39 seconds, but now they start to close the gap, and right around this spot, coming into the 5 kilometer spot, VPP attacks Roman Bardet, goes right past him. He ends up coming up to Trotnik within a pretty good amount of speed. Let's see if we could show it here. About 2.7. He doesn't take any time. He dances right around him. Bardet comes up to Trotnik, and he jumps around him as well. And it's a little bit of a battle, but VPP, for the most part, is not really at all having any problems. Now, Bahrain on the front. Caruso, like I said, he drops back for Tiberi. It's a little hard to tell. It says 1.8 here, but that's to the leaders. They're probably more like 3 kilometers or so to go. Tiberi is still in the front, but then Damiano Caruso, he can't do it anymore, and Tiberi is left on the front to basically do some work, and he does. He pulls on the front. It does seem to be destroying some of the field, but up front, VPP, a very skinny French climber, it's almost embarrassing, but he comes through with the stage win. Roman Bardet about 30, 40 seconds behind him, and then Trotnik coming in about a minute to go. Now, from the main group behind there, you had, like I said, Caruso, Tiberi, those guys, they're pushing on, and the guy that looked like he was having a little bit of trouble was Kian Utebrechts. Hopefully he's not sick like Olaf Coy, but one of the more impressive rides of the day for me, I'm watching this here, and I'm like, there's three Ineos riders up in this group. Geraint Thomas, obviously, Arensman, and then you got Magnus Sheffield, who put in a great time trial. We talked about his time up the climb for stage eight, somewhere in there, and he did a fantastic climb, and he did a good time, obviously, overall, but he's climbing amazing, and he's doing really well. He looked like he was sitting in quite nicely. Baudin of the decathlon team, their team had just won. By the way, Arian Parapente, it's the brother of VPP. He would have been in the break. Also, he was just a little bit behind. He posted up for his brother. I think he was like seventh place. Then you had decathlon team still coming through. You had Baudin. He's kind of the young rider that's been doing well. He started to lead out over here. What? I'm losing his name here. Anyway, he comes through the line. Ben O'Connor, sorry. And it starts taking it up. And you can see riders. There's a break to Utebrechts. Tade just jumps on Geraint Thomas's wheel. And they come over the line. What do we got here? About 3:14 down, but on the main group. And there's a little bit of a split. So we did see some riders losing some time today. There you go. VPP, 29 seconds over Roman Bardet. Jan Trotnik in third. Baggioli stayed away on the climb for 118. Arian Parapente, he got fifth place on the day, 125 behind. Who knows how he was riding, because he maybe have been able to bridge up there, but you can't do that when you're on the climb and you don't want to drag anybody else. He won his stage of the Giro last year. Now his brother gets his first World Tour win in the Giro this year. Simon Geschke, he's still going for a lot of KOM stuff. Filippo Zana moves up there. He's been kind of up in the top 12 or so. Domenico Pozzovivo, probably in his last Giro, 125 behind Nicola Conchi, 141. Esteban Chavez down there in 10th place. And we will drag over the entire group. There's Tade. And we'll look at some riders that changed positions. Roman Bardet goes up. Filippo Zana goes up. Fortunato goes down. Einar Rubio goes down as well. But some other ones lost a little bit of time. And then we're going to have tomorrow. It looks like it's along the coast. Let's see if there's a... Nope, don't see it there. Okay, let's go straight through. We got a little bit of action here. Brian Zimney says, VPP needs to eat a sandwich or something. His arms are thinner than his seat stays. Yeah, it's a disturbing thing with a bit of a facial hair. You're like, I'm not sure what's going on. Almost kind of like a fake man or something. Thomas said there was a headwind on the climb, so Tax had a chance, had no chance on a 5% grade. Yeah, makes sense. I guess that makes sense. But you know what? That's what Thomas was saying last year on one, Grand Bernon, or one of those stages that they really made it boring. They just all sat up, yet the break is up the road, smashing it out, attacking each other, dropping each other. Somehow, VPP was able to get away from Roman Bardet on that hill, on that headwind climb. He's able to get away from Tratnik. All those other riders were able to split themselves up. Utebrix loses time at the top. So I believe that's the case. But Brian, if you check out the very front of this video, I played a clip there of Tade. And Tade basically said the only one with balls was Tiberi. So there you go. All right, let's take a look here. Once again, we saw Kevin Vermaak comes in at 238, top American there. Sheffield, where did he come? He ended up, so I should explain too, Sheffield loses a little bit of time here. He comes in with the main guys, but as he's in the group, Arensman starts to lose contact in the last kilometer. Sheffield's hanging there, and then you can see him drop back. And he connects up with Arensman, and he drags him to the line. So as you can see, same time there, but he did some work there. So great job for him, basically coming in right with Utebrooks. Another one on the day, too, was Decathlon's Larry Warbass. I'm not sure where he ended up. Will Bart, there we go, 52nd. He sat up on the climb, but he was working at the bottom. Will Bart coming in there at 46. Other than that, let's take at the GC and we'll look specifically as to time won and lost. Same time for Danny Martin and all those. Utebrooks loses 13 seconds on the day to Tade. Tiberi loses 4. Now he was pushing a lot on that climb. Remember, Caruso came off of the front with about a kilometer and a half, 2-3 kilometers. It was hard to tell because, once again, kilometer or so for the lead group, and we were watching the GC group, which was like 3 minutes behind, 3.5, 4. So it was hard to tell exactly where that happened with Caruso, but he came off the front. He did a bunch of work, came off the front. Then Tiberi's up there, and Tiberi's doing a lot of work. He's not really doing much damage, but in the end, he ends up losing 4 seconds. So I get it, but I don't know if you're saying, you know, what you're talking about there, Zimny, that Garrett Thomas is like, hey, it was a headwind. You're not going to get away. Then I'll just tell you what, sitting on the front on this climb is definitely not as... And maybe Tade is trying to lull people into just being really stupid, right? Hey, this guy has balls. Look at him. He's pushing on the front. And then he loses 4 seconds on a kind of a flat top. I mean, it wasn't super bad there when you have guys, you know, other ones that are able to hold the pace. So, Garrett Thomas, same time. Ben O'Connor, same time. Actually, Ben O'Connor looked really good today, being able to push over the top. I liked how his teammate did a bit of a sprint, kind of saw some people having trouble, and then committing himself, Ben O'Connor, to kind of a sprint to put in more time. Roman Bardet, big winner of the day, 254. Filippo Zana, 149. He was also in that break. Fortunato loses 4 seconds. Arensman, 22 seconds. Einar Rubio doesn't lose any time to the top there as far as overall, except and Jan Hurt loses a bit, Storr loses a bit, Baudin loses a bit, Pozzovivo up, Chavez, Pedro Lopez up, down, David Puget, and you know, we're top 20 here. So at this point, we're like, do we care too much? No. Where I'm really looking for is Utebrooks. where he dropped down, lost 13 seconds to O'Connor and the likes there. And let's take a look here at points. Shouldn't really change much. Points competition, still Jonathan Milan, KOM. That's probably Geshka's moving up closer and closer, but still, when Tadej's up there at the top, you're not going to have an easy time. Tabari moves up nine seconds to Utebrooks. Zana moves up into third place, up two spots, 202 behind Utebrooks. Arensman loses nine, Bodine plus nine. And so there you go on the day. Parapente moves up 337 on the young riders, but he's still a ways back. There you go. Kian Utebrooks. Let's not look at the time. So he's got 12 second lead on Tabari, 108 on Ziana, and 137 on Arensman. It'll be interesting to see how he does on the youth in the decathlon. Just slaughtering it today. Guys, obviously, stage win, fifth place. Other guys up there in the near the top 10. Fantastic day for them as well. Tabari is an Italian in the Giro. He looks good attacking Pog. I don't know what you mean by that. Yes, he's an Italian, but yes. Is he going to attack Pog? Yes, he will. Right. Does he look good to it? Are you saying it's looking good that he will probably attack Pogacar? Because I think that that could be the case. Let's take a look then at tomorrow's stage, and we got a few little nuggets here we could talk about, additional things. Tomorrow, 207 kilometers, pretty long day. Okay, this isn't the stage I was thinking about. So I don't know if Jakobsen will get over in that climb. The Cat 3 should be a Cat 3. I think this looks more detrimental on the profile because it's so flat in the end that it makes it look bigger. But this is just Cat 3s here, and they go up. Big descent down, go up. I mean, it should be a sprinter's day unless the break really disseminates everything. That'll be tomorrow on a Wednesday. You got stage 12 on Thursday. 193 kilometers. A lot of shark teeth kind of going in there. Where's our flat stage? Is it this? Is it Friday? Yeah, there you go. Friday. Hang on for Friday. It's just going to be kind of a boring flat stage. And then, like we said, individual time trial on Saturday. And then I believe Sunday we have the Motorola. Now, there was Motolino, sorry. There was a conversation or confirmation about the Stelvio. We talked about that avalanche warning problems. Evidently, they're going to be going up, but they're not going to be going up completely over the top, but very close to it. He gains popularity in his home Grand Tour. Yes. Tabari. He's coming on my radar much more now, and I'm happy to see that. It's good stuff. Yeah, it's like Caruso a few years ago getting a top 20 or the top three, a podium in the race as well. I thought this was an interesting, at least headline. If I looked at the whole article, no. But it says, Garrett Thomas pinpoints Tadej Pogacar's Achilles heel, which I tore, by the way, on my own a few years ago at the Giro d'Italia. Welshman says race leader should save his teammates and look after those pennies. Okay, that's interesting. His Achilles heel at the Giro lies in his UAE team Emirates squad, whose ability the Slovenian might overestimate. Going into Tuesday's 10th stage, Pogacar leads the GC as a race with a commanding advantage of 2 minutes and 40 seconds. He has already won 3 stages, 2 mountaintop finishes, and an individual time trial. Speaking on his podcast, What's Occurring? During Monday's rest day, Thomas said Pogacar should look to, quote, save his teammates for more challenging stages to come. His Achilles heel is the fact that he's so strong and he wants to win, and his team also wants to win, said Ineos Ryder told co-host teammate Luke Rowe, who was in studio with Eurosport today. Did a fine job. It seems like they get a bit emotional with it. All the rest of the team are normal bike riders. They'll have a good day. Then the next day, they're not so good, whereas Pog, good all the time. I think you might overestimate their abilities sometimes. I don't mean any disrespect there by saying that. They need to sort of look after those pennies, don't they? On stage 8, which Pogacar won atop Prata di Tivo, UAE Team Emirates rode most of the day on the front of the peloton, keeping the breakaway on a tight leash. The race leader revealed afterwards that his teammate, Mikael Bjerg, told him he was all in for chasing the group in the front and set up for the stage win. Referring to this day in particular, Thomas said UAE Emirates could have backed off if they wanted, but because the break was just there, it was only at a minute or a half or something, they just rode it and kept it within a distance for all. Why did they even need that? We need to do that, the Welshman added. Save the boys, because there's definitely big, big days to come, and there's going to be a point where they might need all hands on deck, or at least someone other than Rafa Majka has to be there. In the press conference on the rest day, Pogacar suggested his team hadn't received the respect they deserved at the race. I am just used to it now that the media and competitors try to undermine them, the pink jersey wearer said. Everyone can say this, but we will show otherwise. We've proven over and over again that we're the one, the best teams, and even if we're not full of the biggest names. Okay. Wow. I mean, that's shots fired. Shots fired. I wanted to look at, let's go here real quick. We're going to do a few little things, some you know, rest day kind of roundup here, but let's take a look at who's won stages. Stage one, just a reminder, Jonathan Narvaez of Ineos. Stage two, Pogacar. Stage three, Tim Miller of Sodell, Quickstep. Stage four, Jonathan Milan of Trek. Stage five, Benjamin Tomas of Cofidis got the first win. Stage six, Paleo Sanchez of Movistar. And then stage seven and eight, Tade of UAE. Olav Koy wins stage nine for Visa Lisa Bike. And today, Decathlon. For Valentin Perpente is the winner. Once again, but for a little bit of a bike throw there in third place on the stage one, Tade would be in pink every single day. Last thing I thought we would look at here is just some other nuggets. Is this the one? No, where is it? And I lost it. So maybe let's bring this up here again. See if I find. Look, so I love cycling news, but what do they call it? Pro cycling stats. But sometimes it's really difficult to find what I want to find here, and that is to find some of these complimentary. Here we go. I think this is how I did it before. 2024. And then you kind of look at some of these weird statistics, complimentary results. I think that's what we had. Nope. Stats. Go to stats. now it's not dropouts. We'll look at the dropouts here. I guess we need that for the actual day. It's not giving me this. Okay, well, let's go up to the stage we had today. Stage 10, and then we could do complimentary results. Those are kind of the intermediate stuff. Rider youth classification. I wanted to see the riders that dropped out. And then they had it's not going to work here. And then they also had the winnings. So I'm not showing the winnings here. Stats, kilometers in the break, dropouts. There we go. The dropout today: Max Kanter, Ethan Vernon, Marius Meyerhofer, and Olav Koy. So anyway, I don't know where the other link I had. I had it all set up to go for us to look at. Oh, there we go. Prize money. I found it on a different page. Okay, we'll take this prize money thing. Obviously, UAE and Tade is getting the win here, 65,000. It's probably in euros. Jonathan Milan, 32. Narvaez, 16. Tim Miller, 15. Koy, 15. Martinez, 13. 13 for Parapente. Thomas, 13. Sanchez, 12.7. Caden Groves, 10.2. Robin Bardet, 10. Alaphilippe, 95. Utebrooks, 85. Filippo Fiorelli, 81. And Max Schachmann, 71. Team prize rankings. UAE is leading it with 70+. Little Trek, 37. Ineos, 35. 29 for Team Lisa Bike. Let's take a look here at Postal DN. Let's see the last riders. Are they even doing anything? 2,200 for Arkea. Where's EF? Is EF getting anything here? Where is EF? Israel's down there at 32. Groupama, Tudor, EF. There you go. 16,917. Not the worst. Not the worst. Okay, so some predictions for tomorrow. I think it's going to be a sprinter's day. We just read there, some dropouts. Some of the sprinters dropped out. So who's going to be? I mean, it's going to be Jonathan Milan. You've still got Caden Groves in this. Will Jakobsen ever make the field sprint? Will Caleb Ewing actually do it? I think there's too much for the sprinters still having this second week that you're not going to see much of a GC, and some of the GC riders, they probably want to save themselves for the time trial. It's not the climbing time trial. It's the flat one, Ghana et al. So they're going to have a chance to kind of break through on the Tade side of taking them on. So you might be seeing them save themselves a bit. It's going to be a bit boring. You're going to see maybe some breakaways on a few of those choppy days. But I think you got tomorrow, and especially tomorrow and Friday, are going to be your big sprint styles. So I would like to see Caleb Ewing get in his chance to actually put his nose in the front and do something. I haven't seen him even open up. Other than that, though, I think you're going to see Milan. Probably a Bauhaus is going to be up there, be able to break into it. Danese's been close as well. Tim Mellier still here, so we've got him in the break, in the sprint. All good stuff. All good stuff. Do they prize money for the Intergiro? I believe so, and I can't believe or understand it. So I'm just gonna let it go. Now, look, they do say a breakdown. Okay, well, here, let's take a look at this. Okay, so here's a breakdown of the accumulation of money. Now, what they don't have in this is the UCI. How is the UCI getting their money? Because they get a split, in other words, by fines, and it makes you wonder about how much time they're doing that just in general. So obviously, Tade is getting the bulk of the winnings here, but some of these other guys, Milano got some for his finish the other day, and you got team prize money. That's really where they're at for them. Let's go back to which team, maybe EF. There would be the ones that might be doing the Intergiro. So let's see if there's any breakdown of this. Individual types, stages, team day ranking. I don't see any breaking down here for Intergiro. I'm sure there's something going along with them. I know Jan Trotnik was up there in the Intergiro today, so, but do I see anything with that? Trotnik, 4,800, 29. Maybe that's where they're getting it. So I do not know and or even understand the Intergiro. Okay, folks, that's stage 10 in the books. So we got tomorrow, once again, I think it's going to be a sprinter's day. Wouldn't it be something if Jakobsen comes out with the win? He's like, first sprint, here I am. He just doesn't look good enough. You can't be this bad. Another one, Gaviria. I mean, he's the kind of guy that used to be able to get over the climbs and sprint. We just haven't seen it lately. So it's not expecting much out of those. I do expect a Jonathan Milan, Tim Mellier battle, and then whoever else can throw themselves in the works. Get your team up there. I don't know. But those are the two biggest ones. All right, tomorrow, stage 11. Stay saucy out there. By the way, like and subscribe to this show because it's coming to you every day. Now we're going to do a little Chris Froome Vuelta, Giro. I do need to make some new intros here.
Froome now, he goes on the offensive, he goes on the attack over the top of this final climb, and nobody at the moment can go with him.
He had 75 kilometers to go, and now under the Flamme Rouge, there he is still, the virtual Maglia Rosa on the road. Who would have thought it at the start of today? But Chris Froome...